Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
As far as James, he's our guy.
We still got James Harden. Our goal is still to win a championship.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Being in a win now situation, that's great. I'm a win now coach.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can check me out on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as the blog at Clutch City CR. Now joining me today is a good friend of the pod, also fellow contributor for Clutch City Control Room, my man, Stanford KP. Karthik, how are you doing today, man?
I'm good, Jackson. It's Thanksgiving week, so just getting, you know, some relaxation in, preparing for tomorrow.
Absolutely. Happy Turkey Day to all. If you're in the States, if you are, you know, please, you know, be wary, obviously, you know, practice social distancing, wear your masks. If you're going to gather in groups of more than, you know, 3 or 4 or 5, whatever the number is, whatever the magic number is, please be careful. You know, wash your hands, all that good stuff. It would be a total bummer if somebody catches COVID at your Thanksgiving get together. But that being said, still happy Turkey Day to all. Now, KP, there's been so much going on with the Houston Rockets lately, and you know, I want to give you the opportunity first off. I think the biggest news and the one that's got everybody the most excited is the acquisition of Christian Wood. So just give me your immediate thoughts, rundown, you know, because this is going to be the first time we're going to get to hear your opinion on Christian Wood in pod format as opposed to long form or, I guess, short form tweets.
Yeah, of course. Well, you know, to start, I'm excited. I mean, I think Christian Wood, 25 years old, just extremely versatile player, an actual big. So we will be playing someone over 6'7", which is exciting. His skill set, I mean, he's improved a ton, and I think he's come so far since we first saw him in a Rockets uniform 5 years ago. And I think his skill set complements the team as it currently stands with James and Russ and all. And so I'm just excited about that. I know there's a lot of uncertainty in general about the team, but I think he fits nonetheless, whether it's with this current squad or if they choose to go in a different direction. So I think it's just a great all-around signing. Of course, there's a range of outcomes that could happen with him, but I'm comfortable there. I think second, I'm excited to see what Silas can do with him. I think they crossed paths a couple years ago in Charlotte, and Coach Silas is known for his player development. I'm excited to see him get to work with Christian Wood now in his second stint and really see how Wood blossoms. So that's the second piece. And then third, I think it's just a great roster management. I mean, if you think about tracing him back to Robert Covington, back to Clint Capella, I mean, they really morphed the roster a couple different times. And I think is a good job by Rafael Stone in the front office, just really navigating some of the uncertainty there with the roster, but ending up with Christian Wood on a great long-term deal and a few picks and assets. So I just think it's his signing represents more than just the player, and maybe a little bit of where the future of the Rockets is heading. So I'm excited. I think it was a good kind of a stressful 24, 48 hours while we were waiting, but I think ultimately paid off, and I think the Rockets got their man.
You know, it's been a while since the Houston Rockets have had a young player that you could be optimistic about the future and how they're going to grow and progress within the franchise. Because even though Clint Capella did eventually develop into, you know, I don't want to say a cornerstone, but a really promising, you know, young player. And, you know, he probably still has a bit more room to grow. But overall, we kind of knew what we were getting with Clint Capella on a nightly basis. You know, he was quite limited offensively unless he was being spoon-fed lobs by James or Russ. And, yes, you know, regrettably, that's just, you know, I think versatility is the name of the game this day, you know, this day and age in the NBA. And Christian Wood has that in droves. He is a completely versatile offensive player, can shoot the three ball, can play above the rim, has a repertoire of moves, can get to the basket at, you know, not at will, but can take other bigs, you know, off the dribble, that kind of thing. And so looking at this Rockets team, there's, you know, there's a lot of cause for optimism, even in the, you know, uncertainty, the shroud of uncertainty surrounding Russ and James and, you know, what all's going on behind closed doors, which unfortunately we'll never, you know, until there's a 30 for 30 about this team somewhere down the line, we're never going to find out the absolute truth as to what went on with, you know, James Harden, his trade request. Was it more, you know, I definitely want out? Was it more Kobe Bryant-esque in, you know, he's demanding a trade request and the organization's going to bend over backwards to put a championship contender around him, and then things will end, you know, hopefully with a championship here in Houston instead of in Brooklyn? Who knows? We don't have the answers to any of that yet, but what we do have is a young, promising 25-year-old Christian Wood who gives the franchise a lot of optimism, and I think you said it, you know, very well. It's exciting. I can't remember the last time I was this excited about a player joining the Rockets. You know, Chris Paul is a different type of excitement. Like, when they traded for Chris Paul, that was like, okay, this is them trying to go toe-to-toe with the Warriors. Who cares that they have Kevin Durant? They're pushing in all the chips. But this is a different level of excitement because it's very difficult, right, to find a move that works both as a win-now move and as a future move. And I think that's what's so brilliant and where we need to give Rafael Stone a little bit of credit here, which we're going to do, you know, a bit more in detail later on, because we're going to give him some, we'll say off-season grades. But just, you know, as far as Rafael Stone and what he's accomplished so far, I've been blown away by him.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he, it is clear that he and the Rockets front office went into the off-season with a plan. And yes, the James and Russ kind of drama, if you will, may have thrown a wrench in the plan, but I've been impressed so far, especially over the last 3-4 weeks, of just how the Rockets have stuck to their plan. They're committed to those guys, or they're saying they're committed to those guys. They were determined to find the right versatile big to pair with them. And then they executed a series of moves in order to do it, right? I mean, this required the Covington deal. It required them to think through and probably figure out how to use Ariza in that deal. And then, you know, just having a vision for the rest of the roster, thinking through the, you know, early on and often over the last 4 or 5 months, creating a bridge with DeMarcus Cousins, having an eye on young wings that can really play defense on the point of attack. I mean, it's clear that they identified 3 or 4 ways that with James and Russ, that they're going to really improve the roster. And so far they have. And now, you know, maybe there's another move or two left. I don't know if they're going to do anything major, but at least so far with what appears to have been their plan, they have been able to execute. And I think that just, they deserve a lot of credit. And sometimes, you know, we always hear about deals that weren't made. And I think you got to give these guys credit for actually making the deals that were rumored or talked about, because those are often the hardest to close. And so you're right. You know, kudos to Rafael Stone, to the front office so far, because I think they've stuck to their guns, and we'll see what's next.
Shout out to the 2-yard line, man. Just all those all those trades that die right there at the 2-yard line. Anyways.
Exactly.
Now we do actually have a bit of audio that we're going to run back, because Christian Wood did actually have his first media availability earlier today as we're chatting Wednesday evening. So he had his first media availability earlier Wednesday afternoon. So we'll run back a little bit of that audio in segment two. But really quickly, before we sat down, before KP and I sat down, pretty much right before we hit the record button, we had a little bit of Rockets news drop in that the Rockets are actually going to help the Knicks acquire Austin Rivers by facilitating a sign and trade. Now, KP, this is sort of interesting. Give me your watered down take about what this probably means, and then give me your super spicy hot take that's probably unrealistic.
I think the watered down normal take is, you know, why not go after and ask New York to help in terms of a trade exception, and maybe it's kind of a IOU for a future trade, but in the meantime, just gives the Rockets yet another vehicle to potentially take on a player later. Really no regrets, doesn't harm or hurt either team. And so why not? That's the most innocent take. The other is that the
Dennis Smith Jr. No,
right. Exactly. Like, right. That there's some kind of player coming back, or some kind of asset, or maybe it's a pre-wire for a future deal. I don't know. I can't see this being any kind of major move unless there's some crazy things like a Russell Westbrook trade in the mix. That would be my absolute hottest take, is that this is somehow a precursor to a Russell Westbrook trade. I just at this point can't see that, other than just the Rockets saying, hey, do us a little favor, it costs you nothing to give us a trade exception.
That's more than likely what it's going to be. But it's, of course, you know, we know how social media works. As soon as the news drops on social media, there's handful, you know, people quoting the tweet with, you know, eye emojis and just, oh, what does this mean? And I think you did it justice, though, by saying that the spiciest version of it is that it's a precursor to a potential Russell Westbrook trade. But I am firmly in the boat of, I think the Rockets do need to run it back with Russ and James. I think that even if they were to entertain the idea of a Russ for John Wall and potentially maybe a Thomas Bryant swap, even in that regard, I don't think they're as talented or as formidable to run it back this next season. And I do really want to see what James and Russ can accomplish in a Steven Silas system if they're committed to it, at least for the beginning part of the season before the trade deadline rolls around. So we've got a lot more stuff to tackle and talk about here. We'll get there in just one moment after a quick message from our friends over at Built Go. Look, whether it's a mental or physical wall, you can break through it with Built Go every single day. Built Go is the best workout gel out there on the market right now. It's basically five-hour energy without that same crashing feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's significantly better for your body than those little itty-bitty five-hour things. It's kind of like drinking a Monster, but with just a third of the caffeine and significantly better results. They've got three delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, which is my go-to flavor, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint. They come these little like 1.5 ounce containers, and you can toss it in your briefcase. You can just tuck it in your pocket. That's where I keep it throughout the day. If I need to take it to work with me, that kind of thing. And you know, again, it'll help you get through your day. You can get through your workout, whatever you need to power through, whatever wall you're trying to break through, you can do it with Built Go. So just visit builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your very next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Quick reminder, we're just doing 4 shows this week. Look, I'm taking a Thanksgiving break. I'm just throwing it out there. So there will not be a pod Friday. I am so sincerely sorry for it, but just throwing that out there for now. Now, as promised, we do have a bit of Christian Wood audio to listen to. So we're going to take a quick listen to that, just a brief chunk of the interview that he did with some of Houston media, and then we'll circle back and we're going to tackle a really interesting quote from Wood himself. So let's just dive straight into that.
I just wanted to say that, you know, I'm appreciative and happy to be a part of the Houston Rockets. You know, I'm thankful for everything, you know, Coach Casey has done for me in my career. And he gave me a great opportunity, you know, to lead me up to where I am today. So I just want to thank him first. You know, Rafael Stone has done a great job, you know, of bringing me in. And, you know, I'm excited to be a part of his organization.
First question, Jonathan Fagan.
Hello, Christian. Congratulations.
Thank you.
If you reflect for a moment on where you were when you joined the Rockets Summer League team, where you were, or even last off season to where you are now, how does that hit you?
It's big, but it also shows, you know, that the Houston Rockets have also been interested in me for, you know, so long, and, you know, this amount of time, is the love is, you know, ridiculous, and, you know, how far I've came from there to now is crazy.
How'd you do it?
You know, hard work, dedication, you know, not giving up. You know, same thing, you know, just, you know, keeping that chip on my shoulder through in and out, and that's it.
Thank you.
Mark Berman.
Christian, you're talking about your journey. When you sit here and you got the offer from the Rockets, what was that like for you? What were your emotions like?
I mean, it was surreal. You know, I couldn't really believe it, but, you know, I know how hard I've worked to get to this point. I know my worth. At the same time, you know, I'm you know, happy and I'm excited. You know, it's an amazing opportunity for my family and even for myself, you know, to be better and get better.
When you did you have a tough decision to make when they made the offer, or was it, to use basketball slam or words, was it a slam dunk they made the offer, you were coming?
Yes, it was a slam dunk offer for sure.
Tim McMahon.
Hey, Christian. You obviously have a lot of skill offensively and a lot of athleticism. How do you envision your game fitting in with the Rockets?
You know, well, I've talked to Coach Silas already. You know, me and him have had a relationship before with me being at the Hornets, and he was an assistant coach. And he just says, you know, he's still keeping them at the same five-out offense. You know, with me and my ability being able to shoot the ball, I think it's perfect. It's a great fit. You know, with James hopefully in the pick and roll, you know, we can do great things.
Kelly Eco.
Hey, Christian, with how your game type is, like before, just being able to be kind of do different things on the court, how have you seen the game transform from traditional to more skill set based now?
I mean, you can obviously see what was been happening in the playoffs of last year in the bubble. You know, guys like Anthony Davis, Jokic, you know, those guys bringing up the ball, calling up plays, you know, it seems kind of like positionless. You know, I think with my game and my versatility, you know, I can kind of do the same thing.
And that was Rockets new center Christian Wood speaking with Houston media. Now, KP, he had, you know, I think that he had a very interesting point there, and I think it's one that deserves a bit of discussion, and this was the main one that people were talking about on social media after his availability ended, was the whole second option to James Harden. And that's a little – is that ominous, or, like, how are you interpreting that quote from Christian Wood right now? Was it just a Freudian slip? Did he just forget about Russell Westbrook, or does he know something that we don't know?
Yeah, I mean immediately I thought, okay, what are the range of possibilities? One is he was referring to kind of his dynamic playing with James Harden in pickup games, you know, over the last month or two, saying, yeah, he kind of has seen how he could be complimentary or second option to James. The other end of the spectrum is he knows that Russ is most likely gone and doesn't really want, you know, doesn't know what that would be, and therefore he sees himself as the second option. That would be probably the most ominous. I think I'm somewhere in the middle, which is there is a likelihood, or there is some chance that Russ is going to be traded, and therefore why mention him in the opening presser? If he's here, great. And I think there's obviously a natural pecking order that comes. And if he isn't, then, you know, you kind of have, you being would have said, here's how I think of myself. And so I'm somewhere in the middle in that I think he knows there's some uncertainty with Russ right now. And I think the front office has assured him that they're not trading James Harden the next, you know, before the season. And so I think that's what's driving it. It was odd, though, I will admit. I just don't know that he's doing anything other than avoiding the topic rather than saying anything ominous about it.
And, you know, I think it's interesting when you hear, and if you want to go back and listen to the interview in its entirety, because I, you know, was picking and choosing the spots that I included in our, you know, brief little chunk of it right here in the pod, but you can listen to the entire interview. It's about 13 minutes in total length on the Rockets YouTube page, but just hearing Christian Wood kind of, you know, tackling so many questions about his fit on this team offensively, defensively, it all boils back down to he views himself as a very versatile player. And that is, again, something that the Rockets have been sorely missing. When you look at what they've been for so long, I think that one of the issues that a lot of people have and have kind of commented on over the years, especially these last 4 years under Mike D'Antoni, is it feels like the Rockets tend to acquire players that are very much one-dimensional, in that they are excellent at one or two things on the basketball court, whether it be, you know, the plethora of 3-and-D players that they've had over the last few years, or, you know, specifically grabbing one or two shooters here or there that can't do much else, that kind of thing, or using Clint Capella as a prime example, you know, great lob threat, solid defender, but very limited offensively. And Christian Wood feels like he is the entire package now, which, apart from James Harden, even you can't even make the claim about Russell Westbrook being the entire package, unfortunately, because he's not a shooter. So even Russell Westbrook has some gaps in his game, but Christian Wood, his defense needs some work, but offensively, I don't see any holes.
Yeah, I know. And to your point, I mean, I think the Rockets have also used a lot of those players with Mike D'Antoni in a one-dimensional way. And so I think it's both. You've got Christian Wood, a seven-footer, can put the ball on the floor. He can shoot from three. He can catch. He can play pick and roll. He can catch lobs. You're right. I mean, offensively, you're right. I mean, there isn't anything he isn't capable of doing. And I think the other piece of that is also that Coach Silas probably knows, I mean, having worked with him before and committing to saying, hey, we want to put our players in positions where they can be successful, play to their strengths. I think we'll just see Christian be able to use those skills in a more diverse way, which I think is exciting. And you know, well, heading into the offseason, we thought, okay, well, at the very least, James needs a lob threat, right? And so we thought, okay, rim running center, et cetera. But Christian can kind of do it all. I mean, he can be on the perimeter, catch and shoot threes. He can pick and pop. But he can also be that lob threat that I think James really, really missed in the second half of last season. So offensively, you're right. I think defensively, I just think of it as untapped potential. And it really depends on what Will Weaver puts in. But one thing I was impressed with when watching Christian last season was just his ability to switch, his ability to, you know, kind of guard quicker players, contest, at the same time also has enough strength now to be able to play against opposing bigs. I mean, we saw some of the clips of him blocking Embiid, those kind of things where he's not shying away from any of these either big or small matchups defensively. And now the question is, can we get him to be a focal point or an anchor with PJ or whoever as part of a team defense? But individually, I think I see a lot of potential for him as well on the defensive end.
And I think it's important to highlight, and I think I've done so a couple times, but just to re-up on the fact that Clint Capela also used to be quite a bit more adept at guarding guards on the perimeter, but then he slowly started to bulk up and got to a point where it was even messing with his conditioning to one point where I think he was up to about 250 or 255. And yeah, he was able to bang down low with, you know, some of the legitimate bigs in the league and, you know, Embiid, Gasol, Gobert, whatever. But he also lost his ability to run in transition. He wasn't as bouncy as he used to be. And that was coming into the 2018-2019 season. Mm-hmm. So I think it's such a fine line for Christian Wood to have to tread where he probably does need to bulk up a little bit more than where he's at, because I think he's listed at like 220 right now to not be as, you know, to not get bodied as heavily by some of the legitimate bigs that are out there in the league today. But at the same time, he does need to keep the weight down and maintain his lateral quickness to be able to have that versatility on defense to, you know, like you said, guard those, you know, smaller, twitchier guards and not get absolutely exposed if he gets left on an island. And you're right. I think untapped potential probably sums it up really well with the physical attributes, the physical gifts that he has. He can be, in my opinion, probably a defensive anchor, at least on the same level that Clint Capela was, because he's got all the same physical gifts. You know, maybe the verticality is not quite as there. Maybe his vert isn't as high as Capella's. He doesn't have quite the wingspan Capela does. It's a couple inches shorter, 7'5" versus 7'3". But other than that, you know, there's a lot of similarities. You know, it's a decent comparison.
Go ahead. And maybe one last point there. I mean, I think that's also why we were excited collectively about the Rockets bringing in DeMarcus Cousins. Now, understand it's a non-guaranteed deal, but I mean, DeMarcus looks like he's in great shape. But B, he would be the guy that if you need to bang against bigger centers, that they kind of know that they have the option of running a bigger player out there, which we haven't had in the past. And so we kind of ask Clint
to do a lot. The absolute disrespect to Tyson Chandler, sir.
I know.
Sorry, the corpse of Tyson Chandler rotting on the Rockets bench since about February. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, but I mean, I just think that it speaks to the roster versatility, and if DeMarcus can work out and that kind of protects Christian a little bit, allows him to play his game, that's best case scenario. But and so we'll see. It'll be something to watch for as the season gets underway.
If I had to ask you, would you take the over or the under on the Rockets being the number one rated offense in the NBA this next season, just as currently constructed, no further changes to the roster? Do you think they have enough to crack number one offensive rating?
Oof. I think I put them solid. They were number two in last year, right? So I think they got better than that. I just don't. And
but the rest of the league also got better. So, I mean, there's just, you know, do the Mavericks falter because they no longer have Steven Silas? Are the principles already kind of ingrained? How much does their offense change? How much does the Rockets offense change versus that? Like, it's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a great question. As currently constructed, I do think they can get up to number one. Just because I think a lot of the flaws that they had last year and also some of the early season wobbliness that they had, you know, waiting on Russ and James and all those things, I think those are gone, right? So you should have more consistency and more versatility. And, you know, I think that's a goal Steven will set for himself, which is like he had the number one offense last year. Why can't he do it with James freaking Harden? So I'll say yes on that. I don't think it's a lock, but I think they'll have more than a 50% chance of doing it.
Now, here's the follow-up to that before we get to our final segment. Can they crack and beat the Dallas Mavericks offense, which posted the best offense in NBA history at 115.9 points per 100 possessions?
That I'm going to say no.
All right.
And I think now that we talk about it, part of me is wondering, by the way, if Silas actually pushes James to take some of the more mid-range post-up type of shots, and they start to trade a little bit of their three-point volume for twos, which may – and I'm trying to figure out what exact direction that would take their offensive rating. In theory, it should bring their rating down. But
I think this is a discussion that we've kind of had before where it almost gets to a point where there might be diminishing returns on the volume of threes that you attempt in certain game, where, you know, you start getting to that 45-50 range and, you know, there might be a level of diminishing returns past that to where you're just missing opportunities for open shots throughout the game because you're in pursuit of these, you know, quote unquote, more efficient looks from behind the arc. And I think that's where we're going to see Silas probably really put his fingerprints on and say, guys, look, if the defense is giving us these shots, we're not going to continue to ignore them. And that's kind of my expectation, is it's not going to be a noticeable shift to prioritizing mid-range. We're not going to see plays drawn up to get Eric Gordon, you know, 18-foot jumpers. But if the defense is dropping their bigs and running you off the three-point line, then I think we're going to see kind of that mid-range be utilized a little bit.
Yeah. So all this to say, I think the Rockets will be, you know, fairly confident they'll be a top three team offensively. Whether they push the actual hit the record, I think I'm less confident on that for the reason you say. But I think they'll be more consistent of an offensive team.
All right. We've got our final segment coming up here in just a moment where we're going to kind of hand out a couple letter grades for Rafael Stone to this point in his tenure as the Rockets general manager, as well as discuss Eric Gordon and what direction the franchise should go with him. And we'll get there in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. If you want to get basketball smart, it starts with listening to the Hollinger and Duncan podcast right here, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Be sure to check out Hollinger and Duncan wherever you're listening to your podcast, wherever you listen to this podcast. Be sure to subscribe and check out their show. It's full of amazing stats, analysis, just, you know, everything you could want in a basketball podcast. Definitely check it out. Now, as we're in this final segment here at Locked On Rockets with Karthik Prasad. Karthik, we've kind of ping-ponged around with, you know, Eric Gordon trade scenarios. It strikes me as he's the guy that most Rockets fans want to see gone. And I kind of think that's a little bit of misplaced hatred towards Eric Gordon because he had a bit of a lackluster performance this past outing in the bubble. And because just in its entirety, this past season, he struggled. Like, we're not going to, you know, mince words. We're not going to sugarcoat it. He had a down season, but he's largely produced across his 4 years of being a Houston Rocket. And I really don't think that he deserves some of the frustrations that are being angled his way. So I want to get your opinion on that really quick.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think I have been so far, and I've changed a little bit in the last day or so, but I've so far been in the camp that trading Eric Gordon would be a smart move from a roster construction standpoint. because when you look at $98 million committed to three guards and you're hard capped at 140, it just, the math there and the roster balance just didn't make a ton of sense. And I think it forced the Rockets last year into weird decisions like small ball, you know, 100% of the time. So yes, I mean, if you ask me, do I think Eric Gordon will have a better year than last year and kind of return to his average? I'd say, yeah, I can probably believe that. But then if you also ask me, but still, do you want to keep him on the roster? I think I would say, you know, if there's a deal to better balance the roster that brought in another kind of playmaking guard and another kind of defensive or 3-and-D versatile kind of bigger wing, I would say go for it. Just because I think it would balance out how we construct our roster. So it's more that I think this is how the Rockets are approaching it, is being opportunistic on an Eric Gordon trade. They know what he brings. They know that how they can get the most out of him. And I think there's some potential untapped upside with Silas back in the fold or now in the fold. But I have to believe that if there's a deal to kind of optimize the roster without giving up assets, that they would take it. So it's kind of, I'm kind of straddling both lines on that. The other thing, the reason I've cooled on a potential Eric Gordon trade now is I think just as in any point in the off season, you get a point where people, you know, trades will open up. And I think the aggregation period is shorter this year. And so I would expect them to bring him into camp, see how he's fitting, see it, where the roster is at that point, and then kind of, at the same time, buy enough time to explore kind of the new market, if you will, of previously traded players. Because right now there's just less deals on the potential table than there will be in a month or two. So that's where I am with it. I think it's absolutely fair to say it's, you know, too harsh to say he's, you know, a bad player. He's certainly had his moments. He's a proven playoff performer. But at the same time, you've got to look at your roster construction and think about, with James, with Russ, assuming you're going to actually play this year with them, is he the right use of $17 million? And I think that's the big question. Do you have to trade him? No, but I think they'll be opportunistic.
And, you know, when you're looking, especially, and I think that's a beautiful way to kind of present the information, you know, is by pointing out $98 million across three guards, right? That's you're right. That's just not allocating your money properly when you're designing a roster. And unfortunately, the Rockets were locked into that already. You know, Daryl Morey offering Eric Gordon his extension, and at the time, I do believe it was the right move. It made sense at the time. You know, he was your third best player. He'd been your consistent, you know, arguably second best playoff performer next to James Harden throughout the NBA era. It made sense to make that move. But now you're staring down the barrel of that 4-year extension for Eric Gordon. All the uncertainty surrounding James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and also just how do you maximize this roster? And trading Eric Gordon is the final piece that makes sense to be able to do that. But I say that with the caveat of, if you trade Eric Gordon, you have to do one of two things. You either have to bring back in a player that is, you know, at least some level of a ball handler, because Eric Gordon right now is essentially your third ball handler on the team behind Russ and James. And I don't even, at that point, I don't even want to call him third. He's like half. He's a half of a ball handler, because Eric Gordon should not be running any NBA level offense, unfortunately. Like, just, he dribbles it off his foot too much. He's, you know, just too sloppy with the basketball. He has no business running an offense. So they would have to get back a player in the trade who could fill that gap, or they would have to take back less salary in a trade to then access their non-taxpayer MLE, which currently they do technically have access to, but they can only use so much of it because they're hard capped. So you'd have to jettison Eric Gordon, take back less salary. And off the top of my head, I can't think of a team that would be even remotely in consideration for doing that. And at that point, what assets are you having to burn to get rid of Eric Gordon and bring back a decent role player, maybe a Thad Young type? And then also be able, you know, what potential ball handlers are out there on the open market to be the third guard in this Houston lineup?
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing there is we're essentially selling low on Eric Gordon, right? I mean, outside of the bubble playoff run, he had a pretty bad year. coming off the surgery. And so I think that's
even
the other
inside
factor.
The bubble, he couldn't shoot threes, and that's what he's supposed to be able to do. So
yeah, exactly. And so the potential cost of moving him just has to be higher now than it will be in the future, right? No matter what that is. And so whether we're dumping him, to your point, or splitting him into two players, I mean, it's just the timing isn't right. But I think you hit the nail on the head, which is, you know, finding a backup guard or a third guard who costs less but can serve a different role, and another kind of versatile wing, I think really would balance the roster. People have talked about George Hill and the fact that he can be aggregated.
I was just getting ready to bring up Hill, that he's a very interesting option sitting over there at, you know, doing nothing in Presti land.
Exactly. And I'm sure Sam Presti would be happy to take on, I don't know, a second round pick. But that's something I don't know that necessarily in a vacuum makes the Rockets better, right? Which is, I think, why they are probably very content to see at least get a picture or a glimpse of how this team could work before they really pull the trigger on any of those trades. But yeah, and you know, there was also the potential one rumored to try and add Eric Gordon and Derrick Rose to the Christian Wood sign-in trade. That would have been pretty interesting. Kind of would have hit the check boxes on what you just talked about, which is someone making less salary who can still, you know, run an offense, that kind of thing. But I don't know. It seemed like that didn't materialize, or if it was ever on the table, we won't know. But there are deals like that. And I think it, you know, the Rockets are surely canvassing them. The other thing is, you know, if Eric starts the season well, all of a sudden his contract doesn't look that terrible, right? He's got two guaranteed years left. He's got a third that's non-guaranteed. So he only becomes guaranteed if we win a championship. And he's getting paid less than something, you know, Bogdanovich just got paid 18. We got Buddy Hield getting paid 25. I mean, it's not that his contract's terrible. It's just that for the Rockets, they just need to be thinking about how to best use that and whether they can get more out of him.
I think that brings us to a good spot to kind of revisit Rafael Stone. And if we were to, let me ask you this before we hand out our letter grades. Is it important to view when you're handing out a designation of a letter grade to a general manager for, you know, the moves that he's made so far in his tenure? Is it important to view those moves in a vacuum, or do you think you have to view them in comparison to the rest of the league and how the rest of the league is operating?
I think you've got to view it in a vacuum and in terms of the process, right? Because it's too early to judge the outcomes. And, you know, the Rockets only have so many avenues open to them. So it's never going to be apples to apples to compare them to the rest of the league. But with that, you know, so far, I think I would give Rafael Stone an A-. And I think the reason is, for one, you know, actually getting a young, exciting player in Christian Wood, like we talked about. Two, I mean, actually convincing, as currently constructed, and this is no small feat, the Rockets are going to pay the luxury tax if they stay on the current course that they are on, which is, that is not an insignificant thing, right? And it does signal that he's got some kind of commitment or some kind of push with Tillman to say, hey, like, if I do this, we are paying the tax. And I think that speaks to the plan. And then third, I think some of the on-the-margin moves with DeMarcus Cousins and others speak to kind of their ability to go build relationships with those players and agents and actually close the deal. So a lot of good. The only reason I'm leaving upside is just to see how the rest of the offseason goes over the next month. And if they do pull triggers on other bigger trades or what they do with Eric Gordon, to our prior discussion. But I think it's hard to complain right now about Rafael Stone and what he's done so far.
I wouldn't be as generous, or I wasn't, because I was sitting on my letter grade in my head as well. You know, I'm sitting on kind of B+ range. Okay. Again, it is exciting having a young prospect, you know, back in Houston, Jersey, you know, a young, exciting head coach, you know, first time head coach in Stephen Silas. A lot of proper moves made. You know, it seems like they've done an excellent job putting a complimentary staff around Stephen Silas, which I don't think is getting enough recognition, that they're putting these guys who have had, you know, a lot of NBA experience around a first time head coach, you know, guys who have had previous head coaching roles to kind of help anchor him, you know, and his assistant coaching staff. So I think that's important. But everything that we've seen so far, you know, there's other general managers out there that could have inherited this, we'll just call it a clown fiesta of a situation with Russ and James and, you know, them wanting out, and they might've panicked. They might've pulled the trigger on the first deal that presented itself. They might've pulled the deal on the Nets poo-poo platter right away. And, you know, but Rafael Stone has held his ground. He dug his heels in and has said, no, this is the direction we're going. We're running it back. We're improving the roster where we can. I will leave with this one thought, is that while I am proud and excited of Tillman Fertitta, who has, you know, committed to this pathway of paying the luxury tax, at least as currently constructed, I don't think it's necessarily that difficult for him. And I'm sure this conversation probably happened at some point where if the team doesn't look like it's competing about halfway through the season, you know, before the trade deadline gets here, somebody is going to get jettisoned to avoid the tax. And that's the interesting part, because if the team is struggling, if they're 500 or below 500, if they've completely imploded, Harden, Russ aren't interested, whatever, Christian Wood is a bust. All the negative things that could happen, right? It becomes a complete train wreck. It would not be hard to send PJ Tucker somewhere and take back no salary, or send Eric Gordon somewhere with a couple future firsts and take back no salary and dodge the luxury tax. Any one of those moves could be made. And so I will leave with that. Unfortunately, because again, it's not that hard to dodge it. It's hard to dodge the tax and remain competitive is the issue. And I think that's what we're seeing, is a commitment by the organization to, as long as they're competitive and look like they're competing for a title, then that's at least hopefully for now, they're willing to pay the tax to do it. So KP, it's been awesome. It's always great chatting hoops with you. Let everybody know where they can check you out at.
Yeah, for sure. You can follow me on Twitter at StanfordKP. Also part of the Clutch City Control Room network, so do be sure to check us out there. But as always, I appreciate the time and the opportunity, Jackson.
Absolutely. It's been a blast. Now, for today's episode, that's going to be where we wrap things up. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.